I'm going to speak tonight on the Jesus people. I think you'll want to listen because I think it's a subject that would interest you. As you know, most of you know, I spoke for the last 6 days, well, Sunday night through Friday night, in the Los Angeles, California area. I spoke at the Founders Week for the Biola College, a college that is historically, now, not necessarily now, is it like the Moody Bible Institute, where it is no longer a Bible Institute. It is now a college and seminary, like a liberal arts college. But it was founded by R.A. Torrey, and R.A. Torrey is also a past president of Moody Bible Institute. So it's of that, historically, of that persuasion. I spoke on the campus in the daytime several times, and then each evening went to a different church. For example, I spoke Sunday night to, and this is interesting too. Sunday night I went to a church, and it was the First Brethren Church of North Long Beach, California. Well, now, that doesn't sound very exciting when you just stop to think about it, First Brethren Church of North Long Beach, California. But I got there and noticed a great crowd of people assembling, and they had some church buses. Beautiful building. I mean a beautiful building. Completely modern in every way. And notice the one on the board said Sunday school this morning, 1,400 and something. Well, that's a mighty big Sunday school, anybody's language, and especially in California. And so I walked in the office, and it looked like a Episcopalian church, you know. Does that, you know what I mean? It's too pretty to be a Baptist church. It wasn't a Baptist church, it was a Brethren church. But anyway, it looked like a liberal church. But it was beautiful, the kind of thing that had a vestibule as big as this whole section right through here, like a hotel lobby, big vestibule, and the people, and just a beautiful thing. So I walked in the pastor, I said, where's the pastor's office? I went in, and he said, "Why, hi, Brother Hiles, haven't seen you since the pastor's school." And that fella had come to pastor school, had his life and ministry transformed completely, and has built a big church. And I saw the fruit of our pastor school labors Sunday night. Monday night, I spoke at the Trinity Bible Church, and I can't think of the name of the town now. It's a city in the greater Los Angeles area, like Lansing would be here, or Munster, Highland, to Chicago. And I spoke there, and the pastor said, he said, "I want you to let my folks have it." I said, "You want to preach a sermon, Bible study kind of sermon, or shall I preach a hot one on soul winning?" He said, "A hot one on soul winning. That's why I want you here." He said, I think the pastor school," he said, "is the greatest thing of the 20th century in America as far as building churches are concerned." Well, Tuesday night I spoke at the campus. Wednesday night I spoke at a little town called Hemet to a crowd of people. Thursday night I spoke to the First Brethren Church. Oh, by the way, First Brethren Church of Long Beach is an American Baptist church, just about like this church was when I came. They believe the Bible, and they're good people, but American Baptists. So I got me a new sermon on the platform. Beautiful building, great big building, and dark, and they played the funeral dirge right before the service for the prelude. And so I spoke on the future of the downtown church. It's right downtown, the old section. I spoke on the future of the downtown church, and told the history of our church and how our church has been transformed from a downtown church to a church that spreads out over the entire area. Then on Friday night, I drove down to San Diego and preached there. I stayed right across the street from the Knott's Berry Farm. And as usual, didn't go, didn't see it. I saw the outside of it and so forth. But I've been all over the world, never seen anything. All the other preachers got together and went to Disneyland one afternoon. And I didn't do that. But I began to notice around. In fact, I was in a restaurant on Monday night. I hadn't eaten anything Monday, so I went over to get me a salad on Monday night before I went to bed. And I was sitting up at the counter, not at the booth, but at the counter of a average kind of restaurant, big wheel-like, Howard Johnson's type restaurant, about that kind. And I was eating a salad, and I saw down my left a bunch of characters that had long hair. My first impression was hippie, you know, bunch of hippies. I looked down, and you never saw, really, a motley crowd in your life, really. You couldn't tell whether they had which one had the Tony. No way in the world to tell. And so I began to look at them, and I first thought I had was hippie. And then I heard one of them say, "Praise the Lord." Well, and I thought, good night, that doesn't sound right. They must be playing a record or some preacher they heard or something. "Praise the Lord." And so I looked down, and they were gathered around the Bible. Right there in the restaurant, gathered around the Bible. And they were actually studying the Bible there in the restaurant and discussing soul winning and praising the Lord. It sort of aggravated me because I wanted to hate him. Who was it said? I don't want to know him because I might like him if I knew him, and I want to hate him. But they looked like the crowd I don't like, you see. And so I listened a while, and they didn't notice me at all. I kept on eating. And so soon they walked out. And as I saw them pass me, as they're waiting to pay their bill, I jumped up and ran over where they were. And I said, "Fellas, look, I heard you talking about," I assumed they were fellas. I said, "I heard you talking about the Lord. And I wanted to know, what's the deal?" One fellow had his Bible there with him. And I said, "Are you Christians?" And one of them said, "Praise the Lord." His locks of hair flowing beautifully. And so I ran my hand fingers through his hair. And they said, "Praise the Lord." And I said, "My name is Jack Hiles." And one of them said, "Jack Hiles, I've heard of you. Aren't you pastor of a big church in back east?" They always say back east. Out there, they don't say, "I'm coming over somewhere to see you. I'm coming back to see you." Now, we wouldn't say that unless we've been there before. But anytime you come from the West Coast out in this direction, it's coming back here. We're going to come back there. They're all coming back here for the pastor school. And they are. We'll have 200 or 300 from California alone, pastor school. I'm sure of that. But anyway, I started chatting with them a while. And I said, "Are you born again?" They said, "Amen. Praise the Lord." I mean, one fella, listen. All four of us fellows on the platform could have gotten in his pants and he could have stayed in them. Really. They were huge. I mean, the gathers looked like a pleated skirt. I think he'd been out of the rescue mission and got some of Clarence Gorin's old trousers. But really, I want you to know, if those things had been let out, they'd have been like that. And he was a sight to behold. Every time he'd walk, he'd step on one of the cuffs. And his shirt, really his shirt, it looked like a parachute with buttons on it. He was, and yet he was praising the Lord, saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God! You better know I'm saved." So I began to notice around the area. Did you know that I drive by a secular college and see a bunch of hippies looking at characters getting out of cars? On the back of the car, it would say, "Jesus loves you." I mean, the kind of fellows that ought to be passing out pornographic literature. And bumper stickers with God loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus is coming soon. On the back of the cars driven by, you would not have known they weren't hippies. Well, I got checking around talking to a few of them. I found those fellows are witnessing in the colleges. They have a great movement going on out there. And they have their own churches. It really is. It's unbelievable. Well, that was on Monday I began to notice that. Monday night I noticed I talked to the fellows. And Tuesday and Wednesday I began to notice coming into the conference at Biola College. Taking over the campus, a strange bunch of people. Now, the Biola students wear their hair far too long and wear their skirts far too short. And I made that plain before I went, talked to the president on the phone before I went. And I want you Buddhist students now to be very careful to hear what I'm saying tonight. If you're going to laugh and talk, you know better than the other hippies that come in here and laugh or talk. And you behave yourself or you'll be back on that bus right now. You better just sit still and listen. Are you going to find out there's some place that'll discipline you? Now, you like it, or you say, "I'll never come back." I'm afraid you won't, and that's why I'm going to tell you something while you're here you ought to hear. Now, you listen. Now, we're glad you're here. But ladies, you listen, we got teenage kids know how to behave when they go to church. Now, I'm just taking that you're from Moody. You may be from Kankakee College. You all came together. But wherever you're from, I don't care if you're from heaven down here on a vacation. You're going to behave if your name's Gabriel. But Biola College, and this is the statement that drew the whispering. Biola College, they wear their hair too long and their skirts too short. And I called and told the president before I went my feelings about that and warned him about my feelings about it and made no bones about it. I think that skirts ought to be decent length and hair ought to be, on boys, ought to be proper length and ought to be neatness. But anyway, I'm sorry I had to spend so much time on that statement because I'm not trying tonight to speak ill of Biola College. But I noticed on the campus the infiltration of the strangest looking characters you ever saw in your life. And I don't mean just a few. I don't mean just a dozen. I mean scores of them started coming on the campus. So much so that the president of the college had a meeting of the visiting pastors. I was speaking to a pastor's group. And he explained to the pastors there that that all the young people on the campus were not students of Biola College. So he said that they were supposed to be Christians. He didn't know who they were, but they carried Bibles. And he said they are welcome, and I'm glad he said that because they were welcome. And yet, I felt like I was in a different world. I felt a little bit that way anyway because of the long hair and the short skirts on the girls on campus. But especially so when suddenly you find yourself in a great convention of long-haired people carrying Bibles and witnessing and saying, praise the Lord. I mean, you feel spooky. They're supposed to be taking heroin and marijuana and passing out SDS literature. But here they are on campus. Well, word starts spreading across campus. I didn't speak. We had 17 speakers, and we'd have seminars. One would speak to one seminar, and the students could choose the one they wanted to go to. And we had some general sessions, but most of the sessions were smaller sessions where we had seminars, lecture kind of talks and so forth. So word began to leak out about this unusual preacher from Hammond, Indiana that was there, and the fact that he was sort of different. And I had the least interesting subjects. One fellow was teaching on the war in Vietnam. He is a missionary to Vietnam, had been, spoke on the war in Vietnam. One fellow spoke on body health and body odor. And they asked me to speak on involvement in the 20th century church, you know. It starts spreading around about this fellow. And the strange thing that got around and where it got out, I have no idea, because I hadn't said it publicly. But maybe these fellows had seen me eating in the restaurant. Maybe the fact that the preachers saw what I ate. I don't know. But word got around that I ate unusual type meals. And that he doesn't eat. In fact, word got around. That fellow doesn't eat pizza. And by the way, I don't. But said he doesn't drink coffee. One fellow said, you're like John the Baptist. Just came eating locusts and wild honey. And and I don't know why, because I had grasshoppers in my room. I don't know why they got that idea. And the bees that I carried around with me were stinging people. But so what happened was these strange-looking people started coming to my seminars. And so, but the thing that made me mad was they liked them. In fact, they liked them more than some of the students at the college did. And I wanted to make them mad. And I couldn't. Because we agreed on everything just about. And there I was up there, I'd say, oh, we need the old-time gospel. And all those long-haired, hippie-looking crowds say, amen, amen. And it's embarrassing. It's pretty hard, and you can't get mad at somebody. So, finally, some of the students, and I hadn't said anything about it, but some of the students got the idea of asking me if I'd give a seminar on health. And so on Friday, I gave a seminar on the same thing I gave the other night on Wednesday night here. The four, the body, heart, mind, soul, and how to stay healthy in each one. And so I gave it. And they were there. And you talk about lacking something. These guys just fell for that thing. Boy, oh, that was down their line, you see. Because they, most of these folks eat, hippies even, a lot of them eat health foods and so forth. And just a lot of them graze in the pasture. So they were just strange. Then I... After I finished teaching, they came up. They got around me, and they wanted to meet me. They said, "You're the most peculiar speaker this campus has ever had," and I said, "Thank you." And they said, so one of them said, "You mentioned," he said, you ought to eat food as near as God made it." And he said, "Now, why is it then you don't keep your hair like God made it? And why is it that you don't that you wear clothes?" And I said, "You got clothes." Well, he said, "I know," but he said, "as near as God made it." And I said, "Of course, it's against the law to wear it just like God made it." So when I said that, I won every one of those guys. They laughed just like you laughed. Every one of them were turned on. I mean, every one of them. And I heard one of them say, "I dig this house." And now, one thing, nobody like that's ever liked me before. Ever. And I don't know whether to rejoice, backslide, rededicate my life. I don't know what to do. I found myself wanting to make them mad, and they wouldn't get mad. But the strange thing about it, the guy I had met at the restaurant, you know, that had on trousers for all of us, that guy had come out on Friday, and he was there. And he was leading the pack. And he came down and talked. And so we talked. And finally, I talked to one of them for 5 hours. 5 hours. Now, not all at the same time, but a total of 5 hours. And I talked to, for at least 3 or 4 hours, I talked to the entire, or at least much of the group. Now, you know that in Southern California, I asked them, I said, where do you go to church? And some of them said, "We go to the Calvary Temple." And a few said, "We go to the Western Hills Baptist Church." And so I started checking around and found this, that they have some churches just for these people. Now, these folks, these fellows were fellows who were hippies, no joke, and they were on dope, and they're no longer on it. And they gave a ringing testimony. They meet for Bible study groups. They witness. They're off dope. And to look at their countenances, you could tell they weren't on narcotics at all. They had been changed. And they meet, and they have their own services. Some fellow gets up. You see, this matter of wearing what you want to wear and being sort of yourself, doing your own thing, they call it, is sweeping the country, and especially in Southern California and even in religious circles. Now, for example, this is the biggest thing on campus, the Torrey Conference, the biggest thing on campus every year. It's an honor of R.A. Torrey, and it is far and away the big event of the year. The student who led the singing on Monday morning for the entire student body had on work shoes, blue jeans, and no tie. Student at Biola. There's nothing wrong with that. You see, you wear your own thing. You wear whatever you want to wear. You see, do whatever you want to do. The biggest thing on campus, and the students in charge, many of them, you wouldn't let your boy go to church that way. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what the situation is. Though I personally, in no uncertain terms, but kindly, explained that I thought that they ought to learn some propriety and learn how to dress properly and appropriately and to fit the occasion. But I asked you, I said, "Who are you folks?" And they said, "We're Jesus people." Jesus people. And then it rang a bell. I had heard about them before. In one of the big magazines recently, there was a big article about the fundamentalist revival sweeping Southern California and the Jesus people. Now, how did they get the name Jesus people? I asked them, how did you get to be called Jesus people? And they said, how many of you recall Brother Hand used to say, when he'd say about, spoke Brother Hand, spoke about Dr. Billings, and he liked him, he'd say, he's good people. Remember that? He'd talk. Now, that's the way it all started. They'd say, you know, he's good people. And so these fellows came on campus and got converted. I say fellows, these kids, and got converted on campuses. Basically, much of it through the Campus Crusade group and others. And they got converted. And I think in some cases, genuinely so. But they had no guidance. But they started bringing their Bibles. And people say, who are those people? Those hippies, their Bibles. And they'd say, they're Jesus people. You know, like they're Christian. They're Jesus people. And it took up, and they called themselves the Jesus people. Now, it has influenced, they have influenced the Christian world in Southern California tremendously. And, of course, Los Angeles is now the second largest city in the world, and California is now the largest state in the world, in the country. Now, they have influenced. Now, they have, for example, they have not made hippies out of the college students there. But the college students in Biola, for example, wear their hair down, many of the boys, down over their collars, real bushy-like. And the girls wear skirts that are, just like miniskirts. Now, all of them don't. Some don't. They vary, but some have very high miniskirts on. And the influence of these hippies, I'm sorry, when I think of hippie, I think of how they look, of these Jesus people, has been great on the churches. For example, in many of the churches in Southern California, now the fundamental churches, they will allow rock music. In fact, in Biola they allow it. They had a group that sang rock music on one morning before the entire student body. They allow rock music, or they call it folk music, to religious words, you see. And I thought it was very interesting. Now the question is, the statement they all make is this: God looks on the heart. That's what they kept saying. God looks on the heart. I talked to the president of the school about it. He said, now we feel that God looks on the heart. I talked to the director of public relations about it. He said, now we just feel that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And the big thing is that how God sees us, not how man sees us. Now, bear in mind this. The president of the institution is a splendid man and a very fine Christian, a very, very warm man. He dresses appropriately himself and so forth, and is in no way beatnik type person, in no way. And I think a fine Christian man, and the school does believe the Bible, no doubt about that. But it's the Hollywood influence, and the Hollywood influence, and the hippie influence, and now the Jesus people, and they're coming back and influencing the churches. So it's the usual thing. For example, some of the pastors' children, boys, had long hair down to their shoulders. Some of the best preachers out there, preachers that have been to our pastor school. I mentioned that this morning in my sermon. Now, what about these people? What about the Jesus people movement? I thought I'd talk to you about it a while. We have to face it, and it'll come to this area. It'll come, and we'll have to face it when it does. Now, what about it? Did you know that a church in Oregon, pastored by a fellow from California, I understand, heard of a rock festival, 30,000 kids coming to Oregon to have a rock festival, and all that goes with it. You know, the open sex, I mean open sex, right in front of everybody, and nudity, and perversion, and all these rock groups, and all the dirty filth that goes with all of it, which would be outlawed if we had enough policemen and enough governments that had courage to enforce the law like the speed limit. But anyway, this church went out. Now, bear in mind, here are these folks coming in, 30,000 of them, no place to eat. This church went out and fed them. I mean, they took enough bread and food out and every day fed these heathen hippies while they're having their orgies and so forth, fed them. Now, one preacher said to me, isn't that nice? And I said, no, it's not nice. It's wicked. He said, to feed them? That's the way you win them. He said, you criticize them, you won't win them. He said, this fellow went out there and dressed, the pastor went out there and dressed like them. And he got to speak to them even, addressed them. I said, well, I don't care what you think. The Bible said if man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. That's what the Bible says. I said, you may think it's a cute idea, but God doesn't. God says if a fellow doesn't eat, it doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And now, what should we do about these fellows? Now, in the first place, turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Page 1257. Either 37 or 57, I can't quite tell which. 57, isn't it? 1257, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. By the way, what I did a while ago to the students back here, and what I do to our young people, and of course, if anybody says I'm unfair to Moody students, that's a lie, because our young people get this all the time. But what I did is what every college in this country needs. I came back thanking God more than I ever have before, and I say this unashamedly and gratefully. I thank God for Bob Jones University. More than I ever have before in my life. I thank God for a place that says, dress right, behave right, act right, talk right, or get out. And our colleges have never needed that, and our Christian colleges especially. Now in Philippians 1, 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Paul was in jail in Rome here, and he said, I'm in jail in order to get the gospel out. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all of the places. Paul said, I've gotten to witness to people here. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Now, look at me. I'll tell you what he's saying. He's saying, I preach Christ in jail, and they're making fun of me. They're mimicking me. I get up and say, you have to be saved. Jesus died for you. And he said, then some fellows get up in jail and say, you have to be saved. Jesus died for you. They're not sincere. He said, they're trying to add affliction to my bonds. They're trying to hurt me. And they, yeah, you better get saved. Now, let's see what Paul said. But the other, verse 17, the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, that's the first thing I'd like to say about this crowd of Jesus people. I would have to say, though I do not agree with them, and I would not ever advise anybody to join them, and I'll tell you a few things about that after a while, I would have to say that I'd rather a fellow be preaching Jesus and not on dope than to be in college on dope or be in one of these rock festivals. Now, these kids don't participate in the rock festivals. They're as far as their habits, they're clean. These two little boys back here, fellows, pay attention now. That's it. Fellas, they've been talking quite a bit. One's looking around. That's it. And I want all the kids to hear this, too, all of you. Because it's vital, and we're going to face it more and more. The fad will come, I think, to this area too. Now, so I would not at all be against it. I've learned this. Brother, you've heard me say again and again and again, I will not oppose anybody who preaches the Bible. I'm going to shoot at the liberals. Now, I would like tonight, kindly and lovingly, to show you that it is, in some respects, not the best form of service for God. Now, I want to give you seven things very quickly, and I'll just read it. Some I'll read, some I'll spend some time. In the first place, the outward is important. It will not satisfy to say that God looks on the heart. Yes, boys? It will not satisfy to say that God looks on the heart. Outward is important. Now, listen. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul speaks about justification by faith. In the book of James, James talks about justification by works. Paul said you're justified by faith without works. Now, I want every young person's eyes on me now. Outworks. And James said you're justified by your works. Now, what's the difference? There seems to be a conflict there. If you read Romans and James and didn't have some teaching about the purpose of the writing, you'd think that the Bible contradicted itself. Because it says in Romans, you're not justified by works, but by faith. It says in James, you're not justified by faith, but by works. You have to understand, Romans is talking about being justified before God. James is talking about being justified before man. Now, there are two justifications. We are to be justified in the sight of God. That comes by faith. When we're saved, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to us, and in God's eyes we're justified. But man does not see that. Man does not see that justification. And James says, in order for man to justify you, it means your actions have to be justifiable, or justified by man. Man sees the outside, so it is important what you do and what you wear, and so forth, on the outside. Jesus said, for example, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It is important to have good works. It is important how you dress. That leads me to the second thing. God is concerned about your hair and about your dress. Again and again in the Bible, God speaks about what we ought to wear. They all said to me, so many of them said to me, I'm not talking about the Jesus people, I'm talking about now the college people. They said, now, Dr. Miles, it doesn't matter what you wear. Everybody has his own thing and wears what he thinks is best to fit his own situation. It doesn't matter what you wear. God looks on the heart. Now, God does look on the heart, but God wants us to be good testimonies to men. And men look on the outside. For example, in Genesis 3:20, God gave Adam and Eve coats of skin. It mattered what they wore. In Proverbs chapter 7, it speaks about a woman who had on the attire of a harlot. It matters what she wore. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it speaks about a modest apparel. It said, let the women be dressed in modest apparel. God is concerned about what you wear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Corinth, said, does not nature itself teach you it is a shame for a man to have long hair? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. These Jesus people, I quoted that scripture to them, and they said, why, in Jesus' day they had long hair? I said, oh, what street did you live on? Well, they said, I've seen pictures. I said, whose camera took them? I said, the truth is, some long-haired sissy drew the pictures and made the pictures look like himself. The Negroes draw a picture of Christ, he's black. The Mexicans draw a picture of Christ, and he's brown. The Chinese draw a picture of Christ, and he's yellow. Go down sometime to the Bob Jones University art gallery, that magnificent art gallery, and go to the different sections. There's a section of Spanish art, a section of French art, and so forth. And notice the pictures of Jesus reflect the nationality. And the truth is, I said to the fellow, they didn't wear long hair in Jesus' day. They wore beards, but not long hair. They wore short hair and beards. But I said, God is concerned about what you wear. Deuteronomy 22:5, he says, let not a man wear that that pertains to a woman. Let not a woman wear that that pertains to a man. A man is not supposed to wear a lady's clothes. A lady is not supposed to wear a man's clothes. There's to be a difference. And I'm simply saying, God is concerned about what you wear and how you wear your hair. Number three, we should testify to people by the outward appearance. I said to these fellows all gathered around, and one fellow said, well, he said, it doesn't matter. And I said, now, wait a minute. It's this fellow, by the way, who had the big pants. I said, suppose that you and I walk down the street together, and somebody says, one of those two fellows is a communist. Which one will they think's a communist, you or me? And the fellow, being intelligent and honest and kind, said, they'd think I, not Jack Howell. He said they'd think that I, the Jesus people, was a communist. I said, okay, then more people are going to see you than hear you, right? He said, that's right. I said, all right. Then more people are going to associate you with the wrong crowd, and you're going to testify by your appearance that you're the wrong crowd more than you are by your lips that you're from the right crowd. Now, it does matter what you wear. Look. A girl that walks down the street wearing a miniskirt doesn't look like a Christian, and she's not a good testimony. And a boy or a man that walks down the street wearing his hair long is not a good Christian, and he's not a good testimony. We should testify. One fellow said to me, he said, hey, why do it? I just do it so I can get with the hippies and win them. I said, how are you going to dress when you go witness to a nudist colony? No, you take that old song and dance to the final analysis, brother, and down to the end, and it won't work. And the truth is, I said, show me your church. I said, how many young folks you got? And one fellow said, the biggest church in town, biggest number of young folks in any church in town is 500. I said, we've got 1,000 on a good Sunday at our church. Now, the truth is, you'll win them more by making them hold the line. Now, God is concerned about what you wear. God is concerned about you girls wearing modest clothing. God is concerned about you boys wearing hair that's short. And by the way, not only that, it's wrong to wear the long hair. One reason is because the fact that you're emulating the world and not Christ and not the Christian world. And you should testify of Jesus. All right, now, number four. And that is, man needs rules. Man needs rules. The students asked me. They said, "Doctor," and this is the question and answer session, great crowds there. They said, "Dr. Hiles, don't you believe in democracy?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." "Well, then can't a man wear what he wants to wear? Aren't we free?" I said, "Not at your age, sonny boy. Not at your age." I said, "You are not ready yet to assume." And he said, "Well, I think I am." And I said, "If you look in the mirror, you'd think you're not." No, you're not ready yet to decide the rules. This one thing is going to choke America right here. This one thing. And that is, we're giving to our teenage kids and college kids, we're rubbing democracy and freedom in the ground. Man, when he's young, needs rules. He needs boundaries. I told him this. I said, "Now take my boy David. David has to wear a white shirt to church on Sunday morning. Shirt and tie and, of course, a coat. Now, I said, on Sunday night, he can wear a colored shirt. On Wednesday night, he can wear a colored shirt. Always a tie and a coat, of course. Now, I said, I don't think it's wrong to wear a colored shirt on Sunday morning. But I want him to have some rules. There ought to be some things he can't do and some things he can do. There ought to be some rules." And so I said, "If you say, okay, you got to wear a red shirt on Sunday morning, okay, but there ought to be some rules. You people need rules, and young people need rules, and they need boundaries, they need some do's, they need some don'ts. Why? So they can discipline themselves." That's why. But man needs some rules. Here's another thing, too. Did you know that when the dress code goes in a college or a high school, the other codes go, too? Other codes, I'll tell you what I mean. At Biola, they have their dress code is this. The skirts must be 3 inches within 3 inches of the knee. But it's honor system. Now, I didn't go around measuring, but they have the longest inches out there you've ever seen. And now, what's happened is this. Honor system. Honor system. The truth is, there's no dress code. Now, along with that, the kids could come to services if they wanted to. There's an honor system. You had to go to 14 services in the entire week, pick the 14, the 24 altogether, pick the 14 you want to go to, but no report, nobody checks on you. All you got to do is just say you went to 14. That's all. And so what would happen? Service starts at 9:30. They'd be dragging in still at 9:50. Now, watch me. I saw it in chapel. One student sitting like this. Now, the speaker was up here on the platform. This fella was down here at the front row, and he was sitting like this. He wasn't even looking at the speaker. That's on chapel, and the president of the college was speaking. You know what I'd have said to him? "Get up there, you lazy rascal! Sit up like a heathen, or not like a heathen." I'd have gotten scared. That's what I'd done. May I tell you the funniest thing that happened while I was gone? Let me personally say this. Now you see, whenever you start letting down the barrier, then you can dress like you want to, sit like you want to, be late like you want to. And the other codes go too. I sat in chapel. I wasn't speaking Friday morning. And I watched. I saw five couples with the boy's hand on the knee of the girl. I saw it. I saw six couples with the girl's head leaning over on the boy's neck. I saw three couples where the boy rubbed the girl's arm all during chapel. Like that. I counted it. Now what am I saying? I'm saying when you quit making rules, then you quit having decency. Young people need rules. Young people need rules. And I mean college young people. Well, you say, I'm a college young folks, and I don't think somebody ought to take you and shake you right good and shake some sense in your thick head. Very idea. People that never have run a hot dog stand, never have worked a full day, never have held down a job, and you think you know how to run the world. What you need is some old-fashioned respect for age and decency and authority. They come out here and I don't like the way Hiles preaches. I know why you don't, because you don't want anybody to set you down and make you be quiet and decent. But while you're here, you do that. He said, well, I'll demonstrate. No, you won't. No, we'll take the thing that you, this placard you carry, and break it over your skull. He said, I believe in love. No, you don't. You believe in hypocrisy and sham. You believe in oily, greasy kind of a synthetic love. Love is for decency and law and order and opposed to anarchy. So I saw it. And they come to drag in late. But the funny thing happened. One guy, he drug in late every session. And he sat right here on the front. And when he came in, he always took time, 10 minutes late, to set up his tape recorder, stand up, and hold it up like this. And now I was kind all week, really. I knew I couldn't revolutionize the whole thing in a week. And I didn't say anything to anybody, but that fella had done it every class I'd taught. So finally he came in the last morning, Friday morning, and I was proud of myself. I had made it. Well, in that the big auditorium they have, the seats, when you get up, they're theater seats, when you get up, the seats flop back up, you see. Well, the guy had gotten up, like he'd done all the time, and